I was away last week, so I missed Father's Day with you all. So for our dads and our grandpas out there, a very happy, belated Father's Day. I hope your children spoiled you. I was in New York City for a vacation last week. I had never been before. And of course, I went to visit St. Patrick's Cathedral, as Cardinal Dolan calls it, America's parish church. Get over yourself, Cardinal Dolan. I was there with a friend and I kind of giving us a tour, and I don't know anything about New York really, but I didn't know it's just right across the street from Rockefeller Center, which apparently is important. And right outside of Rockefeller Center, there's the big sculpture of the Greek mythological figure, this titan of Atlas. And Atlas, if you stand on the steps of St. Patrick's Cathedral, as you look across the street, there's Atlas looking back at you. And he's been burdened with the weight of the world on his shoulders. So you see Atlas struggling to keep this enormous weight, this enormous responsibility to not drop the world. And there he is looking at this beautiful basilica. So while we're on the tour of the church, inside there's this little statue, probably 2 feet tall, of like toddler Jesus. And my friend says they put this here after Atlas had been erected outside. He said this is sort of an affront to that statue. And it's this toddler Jesus who very simply in his hand is holding the world. Not exhausted, not in pain, not struggling in any way. That Atlas outside is hardly keeping the world on his back, and yet even the infant Jesus, with all the power that he has, it takes nothing for him. He's not exhausted, no energy is zapped from him, and he has all the power to be able to hold all of existence in his hand. Every time we read the Gospels, it's easy to bring Jesus down to our level. He's one of us. But we often forget just how transcendent, how powerful, how almighty he is. That even in today's Gospel, as we see the crowds coming in hordes to Jesus, listening to him preach about the kingdom of God, Jesus tells them, like, we are in a deserted place. The apostles saying, it would be too much work. It'd be too much of a struggle. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough energy. There's no way we could feed them. But Jesus knows what he's capable of. They're saying, dismiss the crowds. And yet the Lord Jesus says, do not dismiss them. What food do you have? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Obviously not enough for 5,000 people. Jesus says, have them recline. And at no expense to Jesus, no energy given, he begins to multiply these loaves and these fish so that everyone has enough, that they all ate and were satisfied. And when they were all done, they picked up 12 wicker baskets full, that there's fragments of Jesus' surplus. The Lord can hold all things together at once. He is so much bigger than you and I can imagine. And when the people of Israel were there with Jesus that day, they're thinking back to Moses. God rained down bread from heaven to provide for his people. What can you do, Jesus? Can you do the same thing? Can you give us bread from heaven? And of course, now they see the power of Jesus, that he can, in fact, bring forth bread for all to eat. But when you and I look at this, we can't help but think of Jesus' same actions at the Last Supper. In Luke's account, in all of the accounts, what does Jesus do? He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He blesses them. He breaks them. And he gives them for those to eat. This is what happens every time that we're at Mass. Jesus looks up to heaven, says the blessing, breaks it, and gives it to his disciples. And he's not done feeding his people. That there is so much power that God wants to bestow, so much strength that God wants to bestow in all of the sacraments. This is God extending his generous, beneficent right hand, his powerful right hand into our lived reality. And when you take a baby and baptize the baby, we experience the power of God rushing into this soul. That original sin is cleansed away. That the life of God begins to dwell in this soul. And in confession, somebody comes wounded and hurt and needing to be reconciled. The power of God is poured forth upon this person. And God loses nothing in that exchange. That he just gets to bestow his very life. When a soul is going to God for the last time and they receive the anointing of the sick, God gives them power to endure, strength to endure the cross that's being set before them. But something happens differently in the Eucharist. We don't just get the power of God, the Virtus Dei. We get God himself, Deus Ipse. We get God himself. That Jesus gives himself to us in the Eucharist. Jesus in John chapter 6 tells us, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. And so the church has done that faithfully for 2,000 years. We've broken every other commandment that God has given us. But the one commandment the church has never broken is that Jesus tells us, do this in memory of me. And for 2,000 years, sinners though we are, we have faithfully celebrated the sacrament that Jesus gave us, the memorial of his sacrifice. The first time we see Jesus in the Gospel of John, John the Baptist looks at his cousin and he says, behold the Lamb of God. You and I live in this material universe. It's easy for us to get caught up by distractions all the time and not perceive the more real spiritual world that's around us, that God is more real, that God is more transcendent, that the angels and saints live a more robust life than we do here on earth. And time and again, we need to be reminded of that, to pierce through the reality of our material universe. And as the priest holds up the host, it's not just bread anymore. That in deep faith, we need to cry out as Thomas does after the resurrection, my Lord and my God. I don't want God to be small enough to fit in my head. I'm not that smart, and he's not that small. I don't want God to be small enough to fit into my head. These mysteries that we just touched, these mysteries that we just kissed, we hardly have even the fullest glimpse of it. After Easter, we celebrate Pentecost, the sending forth of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we get the Most Holy Trinity. Today, the Most Holy Body and Blood of Jesus Christ. If I even know 0.5% of what those things mean, that's incredible. I need God to be much bigger. And so when we come up to a mystery this profound, I don't need to figure it all out. But in faith and hope, we need to be people of hope, that I surrender to the work of God, that he has all of the power in the world in his strong right hand, and that he's not done feeding and blessing his people. Jesus doesn't just want to dismiss you. He doesn't want to dismiss you. He wants to feed his people. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.